we're so grateful. It's such an honor and privilege, firstly, to know you, and secondly, to have the freedom to come and share your word. As we go into your word this morning, I humble myself under your mighty hand. I pray for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, so that indeed I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. And I pray you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are physically present as well as those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow, Father, freely from you through me to the people, to do an eternal work in every heart, including mine, in particular to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great and sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes. Yes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and are hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver the word indeed with precision, to redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in their individual lives, all individually agreed with me and said, we're going to continue our study in the book of Romans. In my last lesson, we stopped in Romans chapter 13. And Paul concluded that chapter by telling us that we should put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. And I'm just going to quickly summarize that. He uses different expressions in the New Testament for the same thing. In this portion of scripture, earlier on, he said, you know, the day is at hand. You know, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Put on the whole armor, or put on the armor of light. That's what he calls it. He said, let us walk honestly, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife or envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, this is my last lesson. Anytime you see this expression in the New Testament, put on the new man, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, put on the armor of love, put on the armor of light, he's saying the same thing. He's just using different expressions to talk about the same spiritual truth. What he's talking about is to put on the character of God or the fruit of the Spirit on a daily basis. Just like you put on your clothes every day, you know, in the physical, you know, we usually put on fresh clothes. Even though you wore clothes yesterday, you know, you take them off and go to bed, you know, maybe you wear your pajamas, but when you want to go out, you make sure you wear fresh laundered clothes. Similarly, spiritually, you put on the character of God from your spirit. You put it into the mind, the will, the emotions, and the physical body to deal with the challenges of the new day. And he said, when you don't do this, the omission of doing this makes provision for the flesh. In other words, you've given the flesh an opportunity. You've given it a chance to work the works, what we call the works of the flesh, which are, you know, adultery, fornication, etc., etc. You know, so if it's happening, it's because you yourself made provision for it because you did not put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a dynamic thing. You do it, you know. I'm talking more about this probably in my main message later on today, but let me just say this here. You have to understand that the fruit of the Spirit are spiritual forces. Yeah, they're not just nice emotions or feelings. They will affect our emotions and our feelings, but that's not what they are. They are spiritual forces, and you release them from your human spirit by the power of the Holy Spirit into your will, your mind, your emotions, your body, and your circumstances for that matter, through speaking God's word on one hand, and secondly, and this part is not emphasized in the church, praying in tongues. I want to talk about that later today. You need to pray a lot in tongues with the kind of challenges that we're facing today. It's always been true, but it's probably more true today than it's ever been, you know. So you say, I have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience. I love God more with all my heart, will, mind, emotions, and strength. This is the commandment. You know, I love my brethren as Christ loves them. Then, in my soul, that you pray in tongues, in my body, in my circumstances, you don't know those circumstances. You don't know what's going on in your mind. You know, even the best of us, you know, you don't know. Paul said, no, it was David who said that, search me, and if there be any wicked way in me, you know, and lead me in the right way. You know, only God knows your weaknesses. Only God knows your vulnerabilities for that particular day and where Satan is going to come from. But the Holy Spirit does. So when you pray in the Spirit, you allow the Holy Spirit to take those spiritual forces, you know, all that love, joy, which you said in the understanding, he now in detail, he now shoots them, so to speak, into the mind, the will, the emotions, into the body, in the physical circumstances, even into your atmosphere. You know, you carry that atmosphere around with you so that, you know, like Jesus said, he said, if you go to somebody's house, you say, peace be to this house. He says, if a son of peace be there, he says, we'll rest on it. He says, if he's not, he says, we'll return back to you. It's like a wave. It's a wave. You know, it's spiritual now. You know, it's a spiritual force. It comes out. And then if somebody can receive it, they'll be blessed by it. If they don't receive it, it comes back to you. Praise the Lord. And you can, you are to carry that around with you 24/7. You're supposed to be carrying the presence of God. You know, this put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Carry God around, God's character around with you. So when people come into your sphere of influence, those forces, love, joy, peace, will influence them. It will influence them. Somebody who normally is a very cantankerous person, when they come into your circumstances, you just find they'll just change. In fact, something happened in this our last trip. Momsera and I and Bola and Angela were coming back. So when we got to the airport, this was in New York, there was a lot of queue, you know, because everybody's traveling now because it's summer. We didn't get to the airport late, but, you know, there was a lot of, and we were looking, you know, we got onto the line and we're waiting in line like everybody else, you know. And all of a sudden, some guy comes up to us and says, look, if you have printed tickets, then you don't have to stay in this queue. Come to this one. So he now took us into a shorter queue, you know, and then we got to the counter. And then the lady there, you know, the official of the airline said, no, you're not supposed to come to this queue. You know, this is only for domestic. This is not for international queue, you know. And Dara was there with us, you know, seeing us off. And and she was very aggressive at first. No, you can't. So we just spoke to her nicely, my wife, you know, and I, and so, oh, we're sorry. But the man told us to come here. It was we didn't do it by ourselves, you know. So please, you know. All of a sudden, you know, and I know it's this thing I'm talking about. The girl just changed from being belligerent, you know, and cantankerous. She just started smiling. She said, "Okay." The same person. And she now said, oh, please bring all your papers. So she now began to look at all our papers. And then she looked at my wife and said, 30th of August. He said, you and I have the same birthday. And from then on, she was so nice to us. The same person, within minutes. And let me tell you this, I wasn't praying. I wasn't binding the devil. I wasn't doing it. I'm being honest. I didn't pray in tongues or anything. I was just, you know. But looking back now, I now realize what happened. You know, even your enemies exactly will send up. I like that. That's the Message Bible. You know, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies. Why? Because of those spiritual forces. Put on the Lord Jesus every day. Don't leave the house naked. You know the Bible says so? In the book of Revelation, you know, Jesus rebuking one of the churches. I don't know which one of the bad ones anyway. There was only one good one anyway. It was Philadelphia and then Smyrna a little bit, you know. But most of the churches were not. You know, he said, I think it was Laodicea. He said, you know, I counsel thee, buy of me, I self, that you will see, you know. And he talked about, you know, white raiment. The Lord Jesus, he uses white raiment here. These different synonyms, but it's the same spiritual truth. White raiment, armor of love, the Lord Jesus Christ, the new man. But he's telling them there, he says, you know, put on that that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. When you don't clothe yourself spiritually and you make provision for the flesh, then bad things like adultery and fornication, wrath, anger, the works of the flesh will happen and it will cause you to be shamed. That the shame of your nakedness do not appear. You see, this physical body and the mind, the will and the emotions, you have to clothe them daily with the character of God, the spiritual forces. When you don't, they will shame you. Because the sin nature is there. For the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. Said, these are contrary one to another. So you, born again, spirit filled, tongue talking, cannot do the things that you would. Jesus said it another way, you know, but it's the same truth. He said, watch and pray always. Well, he didn't say, he said, watch and pray always, so you'll be accounted worthy to escape all the things of the end time. I'll be talking about that in my main message. But you know, he said the same thing in Gethsemane to Peter. He said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. He said, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's the same thing. Watch and pray. He said, your spirit is willing. You know, the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. But the flesh is weak. The weakness comes through the sin nature that is inside the flesh. And if you don't watch and pray, you will not release those spiritual forces, that is the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience. You will not, you will not be releasing them in sufficient measure to be able to counteract what is coming, and then you fall into temptation. The reason why people fall into temptation is because what's coming from the Spirit is not sufficient enough. And the Bible uses that word sufficient. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. You know, everybody is releasing it to some degree. If you're a child of God, you have it. It's just a question of the measure. You know, and how much of it is, you know, how effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The Amplified Bible says, makes tremendous power available. If it's not in sufficient measure, it cannot counteract what is coming from the air. You know, the prince of the power of the air via the desires of the flesh and of the mind. So it's a constant thing. And that's why you can't afford to be careless. And that's why I'll spend probably a lot more time on this than I intended to, but I think it's very, very important and instructional, because it's the end of chapter 13, with which we now go into chapter 14, which I'm going to start in a few minutes. Now, if you're not releasing it in sufficient measure, you find that, you know, Satan is able to, you know, get an advantage of us. And that's why, Pastor G, can you imagine, why would God tell us to pray four times at least every 6 hours? Because you have to keep replenishing the thing. He said, the word is nigh thee, in thy heart and in thy mouth. He said, This is the great commandment of the law. This is part of my main message, so it's good. Maybe God's just helping me to talk more about it. You know, he said, what's the great commandment of the law? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and love your neighbor. He said, this is the great commandment. Then he says, and you will talk of it when you sit down, when you walk by the way, when you lie down on your bed, when you get up. What's he trying to tell you? He's trying to tell you that you must keep those spiritual forces constantly being released. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written there. The word is nigh thee in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. In other words, if you're not releasing it from your mouth and it's not in your heart, the force, the spiritual forces will not be coming out in sufficient measure for you to counteract the lust of the flesh, and you yield to the flesh. The flesh lusts against the spirit, spirit again. So you cannot do the things you could. You want to do the right thing. You're born again after the inner man, but you see another law walking in your members. Now, if you don't put that other law, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, if you don't put it into operation and keep it in operation, you know, you will find that those other things will creep in. So Jesus said, watch and pray that you may be, you know, so you will not fall into temptation. So what? Could you not watch with me one hour? And that's exactly what happened to Peter that day. Peter had all the right intentions. He was willing. Peter was willing. It wasn't a question of his willingness. But under pressure, those spiritual forces of fear from outside, you know, overcame his good intention from the inside, because he slept when he should have prayed. Nothing has changed, folks. So put on, that's what it means. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You already have Jesus in you. So it's not talking about being born again. It's taking what is inside and putting it on the soul, body, circumstances, you know. And then keep it like that. That's why you talk about it in the morning, in the night, during cock crow, in Mark 13:35. It says, you know, watch, for you know not what hour the Son of Man will come. He says he can come in the morning, he can come at midnight, he can four times every 6 hours. Minimum, that's minimum. Then frequently in between. You know what Paul said? He said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. Now, he couldn't have spoken in tongues more than all those people. There were 10,000, so many people in Corinth. He was talking about frequency. We're not talking about volume. He was talking about frequency. I thank my God I speak in tongues. Why? The man understood what I'm sharing with you. The Holy Spirit taught us through Paul, you know, from the Lord Jesus Christ through Paul. It was part of the things Jesus had at his mind. But then he couldn't tell them, you know, in John chapter 16. He said, I have many things to tell you. He said, but when the Spirit of God comes, he will teach you all things. And he will put you into remembrance of what I've told you. So that now came through Paul, John, and all the other apostles down through, you know, over the years, you know, teaching us. So put on, turn to your neighbor, say, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Never go out of your house spiritually naked. So many Christians go out every day naked. There are no spiritual forces there. They all say this 3-minute headache prayer, God, please bless me and all that. It won't cut it. The spiritual law. That's why you need the life of God in you in sufficient measure. So what's coming out is powerful. Then you back it with tongues. Confession alone, in the understanding, is important, but it's not sufficient. Because the Holy Spirit now has to take that confession and then distribute it in detail. Backed by power. In the different areas of your will, your mind, your emotions, your body, and your circumstances, to guarantee victory when the temptations come. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. Now let's look at Romans chapter 14. Now we're going to look at the first, we still have some good time. He says, in verse 1, he says, him that is weak in the faith, I didn't hear you folks, receive ye, but not to doubtful dispensations. I want to quickly look at this in the Amplified. We're going to come back to King James in a minute. Quickly look at that verse in the Amplified. As for the man who is a weak believer, welcome him into your fellowship, or just welcome him, you know, if you just meet such a person, but not to criticize his opinions or pass judgment. I'm going to put in parentheses, even though it's not there, but I insert it by the direction of the Holy Spirit, pass condemnation. See, it is not wrong to judge, but it is wrong to judge with an attitude of condemnation. See, God doesn't say we shouldn't judge. The Bible says, you know, you should judge. It actually says so. He said that, you know, if there's the least amongst you, he said, can he not judge between two brethren? And the Bible wants us, the word judge does not, is not in the, it means to discern. When you judge something, it means that you see into it, you understand it, you know, so that you can make a good decision about it. So to judge is not wrong, to condemn is. It's very important. Do not, or judgment on his scruples or perplex him with discussions. We're going to talk about this a lot today and maybe next week if the Lord leads me and I can't finish it today. And it is this. There are a lot of things in our Christian life that I call, E.W. Kenyon put it this way, the minors. They are important in their place, but they're not the major things. And many times we as Christians, we get hung up on these non-fundamental issues. They're important, don't misunderstand me, but they're not fundamental. So you don't start arguing and criticizing and judging people on non-fundamental issues. And in particular, he gives two examples here. Let's go back to the King James now. You know, but this is a general truth. He says, him that is weak in the faith, receive him, but not to doubtful disposition. See, look at where we're coming from, chapter 13, and then we're coming from chapter 8. You know, because all of that he has been saying, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus saves you free from the law of sin and death. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth thy infirmities. If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. You know, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But if you through the Spirit do mortify that, you shall live. You know, and he's been telling us, walk in the Spirit. What I've just been sharing in this last 10, 15 minutes. Now, if that is in place, then you can do all of this. Him that is weak in the faith, you receive them without doubtful disputations. For one believeth, I didn't hear you folks, that he may eat all things. Another who is weak, eateth herbs. Now, the Bible is very clear here that as a Christian, if your faith is strong, you can eat anything. But some Christians, their faith isn't that strong yet. That's why I say he that is weak. And what they believe is that they should only eat vegetarian. They're vegetarians. They don't eat meat and all of that. Don't argue about it. Don't start telling him, oh, your faith is weak. No, accept him. Don't even talk about it. And you know what makes us talk about it? Pride. We want to show the guy that I have more faith than you. It's pride. Mercy, Lord. Now, watch this. He's talking about our attitudes. He said, let not him that eateth despise him that eats not. In other words, if you can eat anything and this other person can't, don't look down on him and despise him because he doesn't have that understanding or he doesn't have that strength or that faith yet. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. In other words, everybody has to have the right attitude. The guy who can eat anything should not have a wrong attitude and despise the guy who can't eat everything. And the other guy who is not eating everything, who only eats vegetarian, should not look at the other guy and say, ah, this one is very carnal. All he does is eat meat. He's just talking about it. I'll tell you something about this Christian walk. the thing that matters most to God is attitude. I think it was Sister Sheun Agbebi, she on her ringtone or DP, she put something that I really liked. It said, you know, gratitude is great attitude. Yeah, if you have an attitude of gratitude, then you have a great attitude. It struck me. You know, I said, that's a great truth. You know what? That's what, when the Bible says God looks on the heart, you know what he's looking at? Attitude. Attitude of honesty, attitude of humility. Even when you are strong, even when you are better than somebody else, when you even know you know better than the person, what's your attitude? Is it an attitude of despising the other person, condemning the other person? Or is it an attitude of, you know, God have mercy and help me help her? It's all attitude. Attitude makes all the difference. The difference between Saul and David was attitude. It's attitude. And Paul is teaching us here that all those spiritual forces that I've been talking about, love, joy, all this character of God, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, is to help you have and maintain a right attitude. Who art thou? Verse 4. Who art thou? I didn't hear you. That judgest another man's servant. To his own master he standeth or falleth. And I like this. Yea! He shall be holden up, for God is able to hold him up. That weak brother, God will hold him up. Who are you to condemn him? You are not his master. You are his brother. God is his master. And even if he doesn't understand some things now, he may understand them later. And God's mercy will help him. Who are you to condemn him? Are you an ally of the devil? Who is the accuser of the brethren? Or are you an encourager of the brethren? It's all attitude. A lot of people have a wrong attitude. And you know, that's the thing about knowledge. It puffs you up. When you have better knowledge than somebody else, if you don't understand these things we're teaching and develop the character of God, the fruit of the Spirit in your life, it will give you an arrogant attitude. And I'm going to say this because I was a part of it. God has helped me and I've changed and I'm still changing. You know, it's one of the things that, you know, tarnished the faith message. And I'm part of it. And what we had was, and still is great. And I'm not, you know, if you came through the faith message, through people like Brother Hagen, E.W. Kenyon, Kenneth Copeland, and all that, I'm telling you because I know by the grace and the mercy of God, the knowledge, the revelation knowledge that come is the best in the body of Christ. I'm just being honest. Do you understand? There's no doubt about that, you know, because a lot of Christians don't have that knowledge. They don't have that revelation. They don't have that faith. But many of us, once we had that knowledge, we became arrogant. We're going to look down on other people. I remember back in those days, I'm talking about when I first became a Christian, you know, my first 3-4 years, you know, I was very arrogant, you know. You can't totally blame me, praise the Lord. It's the truth, you know. I've been a Christian for a few years, you know, and I had better knowledge than people who have been Christians for years. It's the truth, you know. And I remember back in those days, we say things like, "Madama yelonko ni revelation knowledge." You know, we say that, you know, I'll say it in Yoruba. You know, don't mind that man, he doesn't have any revelation knowledge. You know, I'm not going to have anything to do with them, you know. So we had this elitist, arrogant attitude. And God had to bring us down. Trust me, he did. I remember, you know, because all along the same lines, my first year as a Christian, you know, you know, when I got into all of these deeper things, I began to pray a lot in tongues. I began to pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, you know, the Ephesian prayers. I began to get a lot of revelation knowledge, you know, use my faith to get my healing. In those days, you know, if anything attacks my body, I pray within an hour, it's gone. It's true. You know, whether it was malaria. I remember, you know, imagine I was in London. This was before I came to Nigeria. And one day I woke up and I had all kinds of fever and all that. I thank God for E.W. Kenyon. Thank God for Kenneth Hagin. I commanded the thing to, but man, how dare you touch my body? Hallelujah. Yeah, the temple of the Holy Ghost. True. You know, and I take what we call healing scriptures from Papa Hagin. You know, put them in my heart. You know, speak, confess it, pray in tongues. Within an hour, all the symptoms gone. Imagine I did that, you know, not once, not twice, not five times. 10, 15, 20 times. So I became arrogant. Yeah. So when I saw people who they were sick and they couldn't use their faith, I looked down on them. I didn't do it overtly. I did it in my heart. That's how I thought, you know. So what's wrong with these people? They don't have faith. I mean, this is a simple thing. They by now they should know that, you know, you just confess the word and pray, and you know. Then I got sick, and then I prayed, and then it didn't work. Uh-huh. God has a way. And you know what? It broke my pride. Because the first year and a half, I didn't have to use any medicine. I used to boast about it. I don't take medicine, which is true. And it's beautiful. Amen. But then I had an attitude. I used to look down on those who were taking medicine. Now I came to Nigeria and I got sick and I didn't use medicine and I got better. But I did not fully recover like I used to. I can never forget that. It was a Christmas. You know, the year was 1980. I had just come back. I came back from England in September. I went back to Cross River State, picked up a job, because where I got born again, you know. So I was teaching there. But I came home on holidays, you know, at Christmas. And I came to Ibadan, you know, and I was with Brother Emiko and Brother Yemi Ayodele, you know. I had a malaria. I was fighting it because I wasn't going to take medicine, you know. So I was fighting it, speak the word, praying tongues. And I got better, but I did not fully recover. That was when I met my friend who's been here quite a number of times, Brother Adamson, you know. And all these guys. So I was driving, you know, my car, you know, and helping Brother Emiko and all that. So we drove, you know, I came from Lagos. I came to Ibadan. I was sick. Not sick, but not strong as I should, you know. And drove from here to Oyo. Pastor Adeboye, Redeemed, they were doing this congress or something, you know, that they had in Oyo. And people had come from Kenneth Hagin Ministries in America. You know, so Sam Whaley and a few other guys from Brother Hagin, you know, so, and these were guys, you know, I knew, you know, I didn't know them one-on-one, but, you know, we're all faith guys. So, you know, I was in that company of people, you know. I still remember, I was not feeling strong and I was still sick, but you know, I was still using my faith and but it just was not working like it was working before. You know, and I kind of struggled through, and then, you know, we went to Lagos after the Congress, and these guys from Kenneth Hagin Ministries were there. And that was when Pastor Adeboye was actually chosen to become the general overseer of the Redeemed Church, because the other man had died, and there was a controversy about, you know, because he was a younger Christian, and there was people who were in the ministry that were older than him, you know, and there was, well, should he be or shouldn't be? I got to know all of this because I happened to be there with Yemi Odeli. So in that, in Pastor Adeboye's house, he was still a lecturer at that time, University of Lagos in Akoka. You know, I was there with some other brethren, you know, and these guys from America, Paul and one other guy called the Micuses, whom I got to be friends with because their son and I were about the same age. And next year when I went to America, I stayed in their house and they got a flat for us in Tulsa. But anyway, to cut a long story short, you know, they now called Pastor Adeboye and his wife to the center, told them they shouldn't worry, that God had told him he's going to become the overseer. You know, prayed in tongues over him and asked all of us to join. And I was part of that. You know, all that time I was sick. Not sick, but I was, you know. So finally, I had to take medicine. This lingered on for about a month. Yeah. Finally, I had to take medicine. I remember I felt so humbled. And then the Lord told me, he said, your faith is not better than those who are taking medicine. He was breaking my pride. I was arrogant. Very arrogant. Now, looking back, but at that time, I didn't think I was arrogant. I thought I was using my faith. That's how I saw it. But I was using my faith, but you know, but I was looking down on those who didn't. Then God had forced me to use it so that I too will know that, you know, I should be considerate to those who are weak in faith. It changed me. I told you it's a long story. I told you, but you see, those are the kind of things that our attitude is so important. I had this attitude. I had this arrogant attitude. I used to look down on people who couldn't move their faith, you know, weren't using their faith, using medicine. And then, you know, we went from that time on, if I had an attack, I would fight it. If I can't get it now, I'll use medicine. Then I started to become more compassionate. And that's what Kenneth Hagin taught us. We just didn't listen properly. There's nothing wrong in using medicine. Medicine is, if you use your faith, the medicine will work faster and it will work better. But you can't say that people who use medicine, they don't have faith. That would be wrong, you know. And then if people don't have revelation knowledge, you know, just despise them. I used to, I didn't like all this Anglican and all of that, you know. I felt they all missed God, you know, and you know. And then there's this truth there, but the attitude. And not all of them were like that. And some of them had a good heart. They just didn't have the right knowledge. So what you needed to do was show compassion. And show humility. And show kindness. And, you know, and where they don't know, instead of showing them up, cover for them. And pray for them. And help them. When my attitude started changing, I began to get more revelation myself. And my whole demeanor, the way I saw Christianity, then I began to understand this scripture. It's in Ephesians chapter 3. The love of Christ which passeth knowledge. It took me many years to get that to that point. But, you know, I got to the point where, you know, the love of Christ which passeth. Yes, I have more knowledge, but that does not disturb my love. So I can love the guy who doesn't have a certain knowledge. I can relate and fellowship with him, not to doubtful disputations. I don't go there and start showing off my knowledge. I go there with an attitude of meekness. Then I behave like them, even though I know more than them. It's very important. I'll tell you another story before we close. We'll get to the next one now. He says, "Who art thou that judges another man's servant? For God is able to make him stand. One man esteems one day," there's another one, "one day above another, and another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind." You see, there are some Christians, the Sabbath is very important to them. But there are some of us who understand that whether it's Tuesday, whether it's Wednesday, whether it's Sunday, whether it's Monday, all days, every day I'm supposed to serve God. Now, when you meet Christians who have that, you know, faith that, oh, one day is a very special day, don't despise them. Don't look down on them. Flow with them. You may know better, but so what? Love of Christ with passive knowledge. Love of Christ with passive knowledge. Knowledge is important. I'm not playing down knowledge at all. Because as I'm going to talk about in my main message later on today, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. So knowledge is very important. If you don't have it, when you have the opportunity to have it, you may be writing your own death warrant. The Bible says so. My people perish. I say it like that because that's how Kenneth Hagin used to say it. And it's still in my spirit. He said, not the devil's people, God's. You know how Papa Hagin talks. Not the devil's people, God's people. He said, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. So many Christians till today, they are perishing for a lack of knowledge. So knowledge is important. But right on the other hand, we should not allow knowledge or the lack of it to disturb us from loving people. I should still have a right attitude and love for my brethren, irrespective of their knowledge. If they don't have as much knowledge as they should have, I should love them. If they have more knowledge, I should love them. The love of Christ which passeth knowledge. So, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, verse 6, I didn't hear you, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth it not the day, to the Lord, he doth not regard it. These are non-fundamental issues. He that eateth, see how he joined them together, talk about, you know, Sabbath day, then talk about, you know, eating. Eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. In other words, it doesn't matter. The guy who wants to eat, let him eat. The guy who doesn't want to eat, let him not eat. The guy who wants to observe the day, let him observe it. The guy who doesn't want to observe the day, let him. What joins us together is our love in Jesus. Now, with time, if you walk in love towards people, they will grow. And then they will get that knowledge. So, I'm going to stop here for today. But as I stop, I'm going to tell you two stories. I told you one earlier on. Because these stories, they exemplify the practical applications of these principles. There was a Brazilian couple. I've mentioned them many years ago. I haven't mentioned them in recent times. They were my friends when I was in Imperial College. A Christian. The lady was in my department. She was in electrical engineering. She came from Brazil. I was doing master's. She was doing a PhD. You know, but she was married. Her husband, they were white Brazilians, not black. They were whites, you know. Both of them were born again spirit-filled Christians, and they came from an Assemblies of God church in I think they were in Rio, you know, Rio de Janeiro somewhere, you know, and they were my friends. But they were born again spirit-filled, but they believed in the Sabbath, and they observed the Sabbath strictly. So, one day, they invited me to their house, you know, to come and spend some time with them. Because they used to like me, because I used to share the Word of God with them, you know, all the things I knew about EWK and all of those things. You know, I used to share with them. But God had started working on me. I didn't do it with an arrogant attitude. It was with a humble attitude. So when we went to their house, you know, they had this nice flat and all of that. You know, they said to me, oh, it's a Sabbath, so we don't do anything. From sunset on Friday, they would have cooked all the food. We will eat. We will pray and all of that. But we don't do anything. That, please, can I? I said, of course, of course. You know? So I just flowed with them. Now, I knew that. I mean, I knew from the Word of God that you don't have to keep the Sabbath like that again in the New Testament. I knew that. But God helped me. You know, I didn't tell them, oh, this is wrong. You don't have faith. You don't have knowledge and all of that. You know, and I used to enjoy those times with them. You know, and it was more than once I went to their house, you know, and we would have this beautiful fellowship. And we became friends. We're still friends for many years. I've lost contact with them now over the years, you know. But even after I left Imperial College, for the first 4 or 5 years, they used to write to me, you know, and they went back to Brazil. But I've lost contact with them. But they were lovely people. They had a good heart. There were many things they didn't understand. There were many things they were not into. They were not into the faith, confession. They prayed in tongues, but not like me. Not like the Kenneth Hagin, you know, where you pray in tongues for 1 hour. They didn't do all of that. They just pray in tongues briefly. You know, I didn't fight them and say, oh, you know, we became friends. Then something happened in their house, which helped me with my own children later on. They had a little boy. He was 2 years old. Was 1.5, 2, something like that. His name was Samuel, but they used to call him Shamuel. That's how they said it. Now, I saw something. That little child, at that little age, when he would, they had toys and all of that. You know, when he played with his toys, they would make him, you know, put the toys back, particularly on the Sabbath, you know, neatly in a corner. These were whites, white Brazilians. And, you know, if he didn't do it, they would beat him. 2 years old. This is back in 1980. They had made all these silly laws then. So they would, you know, not beat him, but, you know, bam! And they would make him. So the lady, I've forgotten her name now, you know, but I can still see her face. You know, she now gave me scripture. She said, the blueness of a wound cleanses away evil. There are people keeping the Sabbath. It says, you know, that when their pastor told them, their pastor in Brazil told them that you have to start from when the children are small, you know, that you have to, you know, discipline them, you know, and said, you know, that scripture, the blueness of a wound cleanses. That was when I learned that. I had read the book of Proverbs, but it didn't hit me. It was through them I learned that. So when my wife and I began to have our own children, you know, those who grew up with us, Pastor Larry and others, you know, they'll tell you, you know, our children, they never left their toys. We never used to pack things in our house. We are, hey, found yes, then they run riot, destroy everything. In our house, if you do know that, I'll beat you. All our ornaments were always there. I learned it from Samuel's mother. Look at what I learned. So it's very important for us to have the right attitude towards people, irrespective of knowledge. They may have knowledge in some areas. They may not have knowledge in some other areas. You may have knowledge in one area, but you may not have knowledge in another area. So when you begin to fellowship together, God can now teach you something through them, and God can now teach them something through you if both of you are humble. The problem today, I got to close, is pride. Many Christians cannot learn from other Christians because of some perceived superiority of knowledge. And we faith guys were some of the worst culprits. The fake people, I got to close with this. Thank you, Jesus. I got another 3, 4, 5 minutes. The faith, I came, and I'm very proud in the right way of my spiritual heritage. I talk about it all the time. I came from a strong faith revelation knowledge background. That's my heritage. My spiritual fathers, the people who I followed to learn those things were E.W. Kenyon, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, and others, you know, like that. I can never despise that. What I learned was invaluable by following those men, you know, following their example as they followed Christ. I didn't follow them blindly, and I didn't accept everything that they did. But the part that was in line with the word of God, follow me as I follow Christ, I got that. And I'm very, very grateful to God for it. And I'll say it anywhere, any day. But having said that, we the faith people, what we call the faith message, had an attitude of arrogance. Because we had superior knowledge in the area of the operation of faith than some other people in the body of Christ. And we missed something. And God had helped me, Olubi Johnson. God, like I gave you the example, God, first of all, to break my pride. Then later on, God began to show me that there were other areas, there were other people in the body of Christ that had another message. The kingdom message. The prophetic, the end time, you know, message of the perfection of the church and all of those things. And those people, that camp, which would be the camp of what we call the kingdom people, which would be people like Kelly Verner. But Kelly Verner actually came out of people like Bill Britton, you know, George Warnock, and the what we call the Latter Rain movement that started in 1948. Now, those guys too had revelation knowledge concerning perfection, concerning the end time, and the perfection of the church. However, that group also had some lack of knowledge in some areas, believing that the church was going to be here during the tribulation, you know, some of them even didn't believe that, you know, there was going to be a rapture. They just believed that we would just go up in the air and 1 second we're back, you know, with a glorified body. So what happened was this, and is the reason why I'm telling you all of this is so important, because it's attitude. Everybody say attitude. The faith people would not listen to the kingdom people, because they would tell you that they are in error. They are teaching that there is no rapture. They are teaching that, you know, we're going to be here for the tribulation. And people like Papa Hagin were very strong on that. We're not going to be here for tribulation. God has not delivered unto wrath, which is true. The Bible says we should escape these things, you know. But they will tell you that these people are saying that. So don't listen to them at all. Then the other people, they will tell you that, those faith people, you know, they're very presumptuous, you know, and our prosperity messages of the devil. And they're just using faith for prosperity, you know, and you should not go near them. So the two camps isolated themselves and they needed each other. I'm telling you what I discovered over a period of many years. So as God began to deal with me, Olubi Johnson, personally, 1982, I began to seek the Lord. I said, God, I prayed a prayer. I said, God, train me the way you trained Jesus. Nobody taught me that prayer. I just said it to God myself. It wasn't a prayer in a book. And I began to get in all kinds of, you know, difficulties and learn how to pray, bind the devil. So I had to bind the devil 5-3 times a day, praying every 6 hours. But that's how I began to learn many of these things before I could get victory over those things. Now, as I began to do that, God now told me, he said, I want to teach you some things. He said, go and get all those kingdom books. I said, God, they're in error. God said, they're not totally in error. Don't throw away the baby with the bathwater. Go and get the books. So I got the books, Jesus the Pattern Son, Where Eagles Dare. I began to get those books. Then I did what Kenneth Hagin taught us. I took the fish and left the bones. I recognize that, yes, this part they may say may not be correct, but this other one is correct. So I now took the faith principles God taught me, which I had got, the foundation I had gotten from him, and I began to apply to those kingdom things. That is how I arrived to where I am today, to the glory of God. I told you a last story to let you know this. No one person knows everything. It is arrogance and pride that makes you think you know everything. There will always be something God will teach you through somebody else, even though they may not know some other things you know. So, receive the brethren. Hallelujah. Not to doubtful disputations. Have a right attitude. If somebody comes to you and they don't believe some things, and some of the things that they believe may not even be correct, or they may not be accurate, that does not stop your fellowship with them. It does not stop you from loving them as Christians. As you do that, God will correct the wrong things. Last story. I just been put into remembrance. There was a brother I met. He actually came to be with us for some years ago. My person, I'm not going to mention the person's name, but my wife will know the person. You know, when I first met him, he came from the deeper life. You know, Brother Kumuyi, that was his background. And they didn't believe that you could speak in tongues and get the Holy Ghost without sanctification. That's what they believed. It was a doctrine. It was a stronghold. You needed. So they were waiting for them to be sanctified, because how can a holy God enter an unholy vessel? It sounds logical. You know? So we were both teaching in a secondary school. So when I met him and he had that, you know, God had begun to deal with me. I didn't argue. Not to doubt for dispositions. I left it. I just walked in love towards him, prayed. There were other areas. You know, we were brethren as Christians. You know, and I just, God helped me. You know, because you see that 1 Corinthians 13 is something I've been practicing ever since I became a Christian. So he used to guide me. Love endures long, you know. So it helped me. So I walked in love towards him. And they had a fellowship in the school where I was teaching. You know, and he was the leader of the fellowship of the children. So this went on for about 5-6 months. So one day, he now said to me, he said, Brother Olubi, he said, please, can you come and minister to the fellowship in the school? I said, yes, with pleasure, I will. He said, and just as God leads you. So, I went in there, I taught them, you know, and I taught them about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I said, you can get it like that, you know, receive the Holy Ghost. All the students got filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues. The guy was shocked. Then he now said to me later, he said, so it's true. You don't have to be sanctified before you get the Holy Ghost. I said, no. I said, it is getting the Holy Ghost that will make you sanctified. And we remained friends. If I had been arrogant, and I would have locked that door. Stand to your feet. Receive the brethren, but not to doubtful disputations. There are things that, you know, they may not understand yet. It doesn't matter. Love them. Pray for them. People will change. You know what I've discovered, folks? Love never fails. And love will change people. If they may not agree with you at first, don't worry about that. Find out other areas where you can agree. Then fellowship around those ones. Love them. Pray for them. And you find that God will work around the situation. And after a while, it may not take 2 weeks. It may take a year. It may take, you know. But with time, their eyes will open. And your eyes too will open. Because there may be some things they know you don't know.
We faith guys needed to learn a lot about holiness. We need to learn a lot about self-control. We need to learn a lot about, covetousness. Because we had begun to use our faith for prosperity and it had entered covetousness. Yes. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Yes. You know, and it was by moving with some of these other people that God helped me get my balance. If I had not interacted with them, I would have remained an arrogant faith guy. And I would not have been balanced in some other areas. Talk to God. Hallelujah. Jesus, help us. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Draw me close to you. Draw me close to you.
Draw me close to you.
Never let me go.
Never let me go.
Never let me go.
Lay it all down again.
Just to hear you say,
to hear you say that I'm your friend.
You are my desire.
You are my desire.
You are my desire.
You are my desire.
Oh, sing it.
And no one else
will do.
Cause nothing else can take your place.
Cause nothing else can take your place.
To feel the warmth of your embrace.
To feel the warmth of your embrace.
Please help me find a way.
Help me find a way.
Bring me back to you.
Bring me back to you.
Draw me closer. You start again from the beginning. Oh, sing it, my sister.
Draw me close. Oh, Lord.
Draw me close to you.
Never, never let
Hallelujah.
Me go.
Never let me go.
I lay it all down again.
I lay it all down again.
Lord, just to hear you say,
hear you say that I'm your friend.
You are my
Hallelujah.
Sing
it.
You are my desire.
Oh Lord, my only desire.
No one else will do.
Cause nothing else can take your place.
Cause nothing else can take your place.
To feel the warmth of your embrace.
Feel the warmth of your embrace.
Please, Lord, help
Hallelujah.
Me find a way.
Help me find a way.
And bring me back to you.
Bring me back to you.
You're all
bring
I want. Glory
you're
to God.
All I want.
You're all.
All I want.
Help me.
Put one hand on your heart. Raise the other one to God. Say, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father. I thank you for your word. Lord, have mercy on us. So receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray. Father, I thank you for your word that has come today, instructing me that I have to maintain a meek, a humble attitude, irrespective of the knowledge that I have. When I have more knowledge than others, I have to have a right attitude towards them. When they have more knowledge than me, I have to have the right attitude towards them, so that I can learn from them and they can learn from me, so that we will know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, so that ultimately we shall all be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh God, have mercy on me. Help me. Help me. Help me to maintain an attitude of humility, an attitude of meekness, an attitude of teachability, to be able to learn from others, even when I know more than them in some areas, knowing that only you knows everything. And you bring knowledge through different avenues. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. To accept my brethren, even when they are wrong in some areas, not to doubtful disputations. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Nikatoske fredelesk. Rama. Remember I told you about praying in the Spirit. You're releasing spiritual forces. You're not just, you're releasing the wisdom of God, the power of God. Rato, Father, celebrate your Father. Thank you, Labrikitolomoshera. Lord Jesus, thank you. Rakatolom Tulom and Tufrenengas. Lord Holy Spirit, Teshaka Reclamatolom and Tufreningitos Kefre into our souls. Rapakatolom, celebrikitolom and Tufrenes into our bodies. Celebrikitolom and Tufrenengaras into our circumstances. Lebrikitos Kufrenengar, Dolomoshera. Into our regional heavenlies, Ranish, Re Tolomashelia, Reto Fridilis, Tofridengar, Tolomotofres, No Fridili Tofridengarsk, Noske Fredesk, Nink Toske Frene, in Jesus' name. Stay right where you are if you need healing in your body. And those that are at home that they're watching right now on YouTube or any of the electronic channels, you know, just stretch forth your hands towards your device. If you're here, you need healing or deliverance. The Bible says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Even as I have been preaching, that the healing power is in God's word. The Bible says, and Jesus taught them and preached, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. It is in the air. Just stretch forth your hands and just receive it. Just, if you're in need of healing, if you're in need of deliverance, just raise your hand. If you're here physically, if you're not here, just stretch forth your hands towards your device at home. And Father, I'm going to pray and then just receive. Father, for everyone under the sound of my voice that is in need of healing or deliverance from spirits of depression, spirits of fear, spirits of doubt, any kind of oppressive spirit, generational familiar spirits, we cast you out. We destroy your works. Reason that we bind you in Jesus' name. We set loose now the healing power of God. Lord, we release healing power. He says his word is life and medicine to all their flesh. We release healing power now from your word through the air into the physical bodies of these ones to effect a healing and a cure and give them total recovery from their condition in Jesus' name. And just quietly just say, I receive it. I receive it in Jesus' name. I receive my healing. I receive my deliverance in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.